deal with something.
Radio? Who needs a radio?
Featuring the biggest names and newsmakers from the world of sports media.
Don't act like you're not impressed.
Now, here's your host, the president of Barrett Sports Media, Jason Barrett.
Back again for another installment of the Barrett Sports Media Podcast. This is episode 4 of season 3. I am Jason Barrett. Appreciate you making time to listen. Today, I'm excited to share with you a conversation I conducted with Frank Frangie of 1010XL in Jacksonville. I was on the road spending a few days with the talented 1010 team, and Frank's a guy who not only does a tremendous job hosting afternoons, but he's also the radio voice of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and he's been a mainstay in the Jacksonville market for 3 decades. We covered a lot of ground during the course of our 30 minutes together, so be sure to stick around for that. An episode wouldn't be complete, of course, without me asking for your support. It takes a few seconds to leave a review and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. If that's not an option for you, take a second, hit the retweet button on Twitter, and let folks know that the podcast is worth listening to. I don't feature advertising on the show, and I try to present something unique that can help industry pros learn. A little bit of support makes it all worthwhile. On the topic of support, that's actually my focus in this week's BSM 180. I've got a number of thoughts I want to share on it, so let's get into it.
You have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
During the month of May, I spent nearly every week in a different city talking to different hosts about ways to improve. I also listened to a lot of brands and spoke with a lot of hosts and program directors about upcoming opportunities and ways to strengthen their performance. Being in the position that I'm in, I've wondered before how much it matters to people to continue growing. Many of us who do this job for an extended period of time start to assume we've got a handle on things, but we lose sight of the fact that others in different locations are hard at work trying to create things to take away what we have. A big reason why I do what I do is because I love to help people grow. It's what motivates me to wake up and dive into this space each day. I invest a lot of time and energy listening, reading, and talking to people all across the country because I'm always thinking about ways to help my partners win. The only time that changes is if I sense someone's checked out or they think they know all the answers. If you're not interested in continuing to learn, I'm probably not the best guy to work with. When I started my career, I wanted to host. I spent close to 8 years doing it along with reading news, running boards, booking guests, doing production, and even selling my own advertising. I was determined to succeed because working in sports radio was my dream. But while I was doing it, I had nobody instructing me how to get better. I went to my studio, did what I did, assumed I was doing it right because the checks kept clearing and the bosses kept giving me a thumbs up. It wasn't until I sent a package of a weekend wrestling show to Bristol, Connecticut to explore syndication possibilities with ESPN Radio that I received my first taste of content analysis. Bruce Gilbert took the time to listen to something that he had no plans to air on ESPN Radio and provided a page and a half of feedback, all of which made sense and inspired me to work harder at my craft. That critique meant everything to me at that time because I wanted to get better but had nobody showing me how. After I got that feedback, I told myself, if an opportunity comes up, I'm going to work for that guy. Sure enough, 2 years later, I was offered a chance to produce for my hometown radio station, WFAN. Except on the very same day, ESPN Radio also presented me with an opportunity. The better pay and lesser commute were certainly factors, but what ultimately influenced my decision was having a chance to learn from a guy I had never met or talked to, but knew understood good radio, and that guy was Bruce Gilbert. I bring this story to light because those of you in PD roles are often pursued for opportunities, and it's easy to lose sight of how impactful a simple response to a tweet or email or a follow-up phone call can be. The day is never long enough, but each decision you make today can affect tomorrow. And if your competitor has taken the time to care while you've demonstrated you're too busy, how will that sit with you when the next game changer on air or behind the scenes is helping your opponent? If you guys have any type of stories like that, or if you're in a situation where you're not given much support or feedback, I'd love to hear about it. You can find me on Twitter, @SportsRadioPD, or you can always reach out by email, jbarrett@sportsradiopd.com. I do want to add one additional item. Market managers, this applies to you guys too. Some places don't have budgets to hire an off-air PD. Others do, but don't take into consideration the PD's need for growth and fresh ideas. It's easy to say revenue is tight, but investing in your people, their success and professional development should never be a difficult decision. I talked to close to 25 people over the last week. You'd be stunned at how many feel their growth is not important to their radio stations and how it affects their outlook on staying at that place or exploring new horizons. Keep that in mind going forward. All right, I'm going to get off my soapbox to set up this week's conversation. And what makes this enjoyable is that everything I just said about not investing time in people is the complete opposite of what I see happening in Jacksonville. I was fortunate to spend 3 days with Stephen Griffin, who oversees 1010XL, and he truly does want his team to grow. We had some excellent conversations, and those guys are doing a great job, specifically afternoon host Frank Frangie, who's this week's guest. Frank is not only the dominant talk show host and afternoon drive in the market, but he's also the voice of the Jaguars, a former writer, and someone who's been involved in the creation of 1010XL, as well as the company's college-focused website, Gridiron Now. We explored a lot of different areas of his career and navigated through some topics that were big-picture focused on the sports media industry. He had a lot of great points to offer, so relax and turn up the volume and enjoy this week's conversation. All right, Frank, let's start with this. So Jacksonville native has to be the dream. You talk about your hometown team's been doing it for a while. 30 years, right?
August 1st will be 30 years. That's right.
All right, so I'm going to hit you with the broadest question you've probably been hit with.
Right.
What's the biggest change that you've experienced in 30 years of doing this?
Boy, there's a lot of them. I really do believe that. Specifically, from a micro standpoint, I think no callers. I think more of a conversation among people in there.
Right.
I think from a very specific standpoint, the way we deliver the show is differently. Just talking about the talk show. So that's a very specific look. Talk shows are different now. We talked, you and I have had this talk where we have a number of people sitting around a mic and having at it rather than callers and even not as many guests. So I think that on a micro level. Big picture, the way covering sports has changed.
Mm-hmm.
All the digital pieces. Newspapers are going away. Local television doesn't do what it once did. The digital pieces, and even those have changed. ESPN's laid off everybody. CNN laid off everybody.
Right.
Sports Illustrated's laid off everybody. So I think trying to figure out how sports is going to be distributed, and boy, is that a fluid deal now.
Oh, yeah.
Watching that from a big picture standpoint, and we're all trying to figure out where it's going to go. I think local sports radio is protected. It feels like it is. Because there's cars and there's local teams.
Yep.
And Sirius can give you cars, but they can't give you local teams.
Right.
Podcasts maybe can give you cars. So I think we're okay for a while.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned newspapers. I know you started there, right? So when you see the way the print business has changed, and you talked about some of those businesses and how they've laid off people, and print has really dealt with that. I mean, as a newspaper guy at heart, how does that make you feel?
You know, it's interesting, Jason. I started my career, I graduated from University of Florida in 1980, and all I wanted to do, once I figured out I probably wasn't pitching in the big leagues, all I wanted to do was be a sports writer. And got out of college and went to work as a sports writer. In 88 when I started doing both. And then 5 years, so this 30 years in radio, but 5 years into doing both, it was clear to me, even then, that the electronic side was going to have more shelf life, could be more profitable, could be better, and I probably fit it better too. So I think the written word will always be there. Yeah, I'm a little sad. I'm a little sad that people don't get up and read their newspaper anymore. I think that day's over with, only because I grew up doing it, but I get it. What I really hope is that good sports writing doesn't ever go away.
Correct.
And I don't think it will. I think we'll have it, again, we're reading it on The Athletic now. We read it on ESPN.com forever. Before that, we read it in USA Today, and before that, we read it in our local paper. So it's the distribution point has changed. I hope we never get to where good sports writing goes away because I really enjoy it.
So I want to talk to you about this market. 1010XL is the station you're on. You guys really changed sports radio here 2007 when the station launched. One of the benefits I would see from afar is the fact that you're not under this corporate umbrella where you've got the pressures of Wall Street deciding whether or not you can continue to employ people locally, and you've got network shows that you got to put on. On the other hand, you know, every decision stops at one door, and that can have a different set of challenges. So how do you feel being a locally owned station has benefited not only the brand, but yourself as a businessman and a talk show host?
Yeah, I think it's the greatest thing of all time. So I don't bury the lead. I think it's the greatest thing of all time. Our investors are off the chart good. They're supportive. They get what we're trying to do. When we tried to launch Gridiron Now, which was a little bit of a different venture for us, they were so supportive. Steve Griffin, our GM, really does a good job. The way this whole thing came about, and you probably know this, Steve was working corporate radio with Salem Communications. I had been on 930, the competing station, and then was buying time from a station under the Salem umbrella. And Steve and I kind of got together and said, why don't we try this? Mm-hmm. And he knows how to run it, and he's done a magnificent job of building it. Because I've been in the market a long time, we both knew a lot of people in this market. So it started, and I'm sure you saw it, it started at a deli. We sat down.
I didn't know.
Steve and I had lunch at a deli and said,
what were you eating?
Liverwurst, and it was good, okay? And we said, why don't we do this? Why don't we? Radio doesn't. I think he and he speaks to it better than I can. I don't want to speak for him, but I think he was getting tired of the corporate world of radio. He's a very good GM. He's probably the best I've been around in terms of being a good steward of the investors' money and being accountable to that, and still creating a culture where everybody wants to work here.
Yep.
That's a tough balance. It's tough to be what your investors want you to be and what your employees hope you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's pulled that off. I've told him that. He's pulled that off. That's a very difficult challenge. So, but yeah, we sat there at a deli and said, let's do this. So I'm looking for another landing point. I was at 930, the Clear Channel station, had a wonderful time there, but it was time for the next thing. He was looking for the next thing. And we both believed if you can find a way to do it and fund it, if you can find a way to do it and fund it locally, I mean, you got to keep everybody paid. There's a reason not many people can do this. We have to have the right compensation plan. We have to have the right people. A lot of times in a market our size, people that can do both.
Yep.
Sometimes you got to sell in and host a show. And can you find enough people that are good at both?
Right.
And that was sort of the challenge. And we hope we're getting there, but we've had a lot of fun doing it.
You know, along those lines, one of the best attributes, what I see from afar, is that there's also a lot of loyalty. Like, you guys have had a pretty consistent lineup for a long time. The benefit of that is the audience knows they can count on hearing the same people in the same spots for a long period of time, and that's what you build relationships on. The flip side of that is you got to guard against complacency to where you don't wind up just becoming flat and you miss things. So how do you guys do that? How do you guard against complacency?
It's a great question. Hopefully, we never lose sight of how good we have it. That's the big thing. Hopefully, we never... Because once you become complacent, once it becomes easier, comfortable, then you're in trouble. Again, Steve's very careful. Steve always has his eye on the ball. He's always wondering, you know what? We're good here, but we need to do a little more of this. I like the fact, one of the reasons you're here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're okay. I have no idea what our ratings are, but I'm guessing they're very good.
Yep.
I have a pretty good idea what our revenues are. They're off the chart. You know, I know how we're perceived in the market because we talked to a lot of people in the market. We're very well perceived. We're kind of I think we are the sports default position in this market. I truly believe that.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are where fans go, not just in radio, but in any medium. The two most prominent TV guys in town are on our radio station.
Yep.
So we have to make sure we understand that. And I think that's just a personal accountability thing. I don't know that there's any tool. I don't know there's one gimmick way to do it. I think it's personal accountability. Never lose sight of how what a great gig this is. I think that's a big part of it.
I want to talk to you about your show for a minute. So on your show now, you've got yourself, you've got Hayes, you've got Brent, you've got Lauren, and you've got your producer, Ryan Big Country, one of the best nicknames.
Right.
Anytime I hear that name, I just smile.
Yeah.
Why do you believe in having a big ensemble for an afternoon show?
I think what sports radio should be, it should sound like a bunch of folks sitting at a high top in a bar having a cold beer talking about what happened in sports that day. That's what I enjoy the most.
Mm-hmm.
I've done this a long time. And the more people I'm around, I sense that that's what they enjoy the most. You know, sports radio started with, welcome to the program, let's go to the phone. Let's go to Bob on the south side.
Okay? Still exists in some places.
And I have no doubt. But I think it evolved. But I had more people tell us, that's really not what I turn it on for. And that's no knock on the callers. I turn it on to hear the people that I've gotten to know. So step one, answer one to your questions, I think that's what that's what good radio is a bunch of people sitting around a high top at a bar having a cold beer talking about what happened that day. I also think it's important to have different folks. Hayes is a numbers guy. He's a little more opinionated. He angers easily, which makes it fun. Lauren sees maybe the P2 side of this thing. She's a critical part of this program. I really believe that. Brent is everyman guy. Everybody likes Brent. He's the nicest guy in town. You walk down the street, hey, Brent, he's the nice guy, right? Brent's a nice guy,
yep.
Right? And then I hopefully if we're pulling it off, I hopefully can tee them up and put them in position to be to their strength. And I don't know if I accomplished that, but that's sort of the goal.
Yep.
I'm a guy that's done this a long time, so I'll have time for my opinions. I've had 30 years worth of opinions. I'll get mine in.
If I didn't think you did it well, I would tell you. You know that. But I think that's one of your biggest strengths. I mean, you definitely are a point guard of the show. And you're, you know, in some cases, guys with your credibility of doing it for three decades, they go, hey, I'm the man they're coming to see. And they don't want to distribute the wealth, so to speak. You do that. But when you have all those voices involved, how do you make sure you're not getting into situations where someone's gone for 8 minutes at
right.
a time and that they remain engaged? Because, you know, when the ball doesn't come your way, you can be sitting out on the 3-point line board, you know, playing with your shorts, and that's not good.
Biggest challenge I have, and I think you're right, and I have to be very careful to make sure almost the other side of that too, Jason, what you don't want to do, though, is go, okay, you spoke, now it's your turn. Now
right.
go back to your turn. You don't want to do that. Then it becomes rote. Hopefully, you have a pretty good idea. You have to really know your co-host.
Mm-hmm.
You have to know, and the co-hosts have to know each other, and they have to know me. And I have to have a pretty good feel. I think part of the answer to your question is in the building of the team.
Mm-hmm.
When we built this team, and I'm very pleased with where this team is, but when we built this team, I had to have a pretty good idea of how it would balance. And I think we've accomplished that. Brent really is a good NFL, pro sports, local guy. Doesn't know college football by his own admission. That's not his background. Hayes is a great football guy, intense. Doesn't know baseball and doesn't pretend to. So he's very good at asking questions. So there's a balance there. If we get to a baseball topic, Hayes doesn't feel like he's got to fake it. Nobody
right.
fakes it on our show. I hope not. Hayes says, hey, you know what? What do you guys think about launch angle and whatnot? Because maybe we followed it more closely. Lauren has the toughest job of everybody because she presumably hasn't been covering and working in the sport. The rest of us have worked sports our whole life. Hayes, Brent, me have worked in the sports media business our entire careers. Popped out of college and went to work in sports.
Mm-hmm.
Lauren came from a different industry. She worked as a financial analyst for a school or for college. So she's listened to the shows for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
When to jump in, when not to, when to be there, and when to lay out. One of the most important things to do is to know when to lay out.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a challenge. Hopefully a lot of that is built in the front end when you build the team.
You know, speaking of building teams, one thing that this station does incredibly well among the elite of the format is it launches the career of women. And I really think that's notable. I mean, Jessica, Mackenzie, Amanda are three that have come from here and went on to bigger jobs with play-by-play. And, you know, like Amanda's in New York with the Rangers. Blaylock's doing is
the
it,
Marlins
the Marlins
and Panthers,
right?
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, obviously, they got their start here. They've went on to that. You've got Lauren in the show who's doing a great job. That's not something you see common right now across the industry. I think it's getting a little better, but it's certainly not there. How did that come about, and why is it such an important part of the DNA of 1010?
Well, two questions. How it came about, that's Griffin again. That was important to him. He is, by his own admission, is a P2, and we need that.
Yep.
We need, if all of us are so locked into the metrics and specific details of our P1 minds, we'll lose sight of what the common guy wants to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve's always thinking about that, and to that end, I think he believes we should have women in the sports media, and we all believe that. The beauty of what we're trying to do is we want to develop young women at this radio station without typecasting them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, and nobody tries to do this, and I love sports television, but too many times in sports television, women get typecast as the pretty girl on the sideline.
Right.
I think the goal here is for the women on our radio station to be just like the men on our radio station, have a role on the show.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, to your first question, how did it happen? That was Steve's vision. And it really was Steve's vision when he built, and I know he's told you that, when he built that. And I think he will continue to be a station that tries to develop young people. The other thing he's done, I'll say very quickly, and at a radio station, if you want to do it in perpetuity, you got to make sure you stay young. You got to make sure you stay relevant. I've thought about it. I'm 59 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to make sure we keep our show relevant. and we keep our show. I'm not going to go so far as say it's hip. Okay, mm-hmm. My daughter told me the other day, "Dad, you're so not hip that you don't even realize the word hip isn't hip anymore." But
now it's lit.
Yeah, right. So I'm late to the party here, Jason. But I think that's important in our industry to make sure we stay young, we stay relevant, we stay today, and today that means being diverse, and hopefully we are.
You know, in addition to hosting a show, which is a chore in itself because it's a lot of work, you also are the voice of the Jaguars, and obviously in this market, the one pro team in town. All eyes and ears are on that brand. I'm always curious to ask play-by-play guys who do that job. What goes into a week of prep for you when you're calling a game?
Yeah, I did 7 years of national college games with Touchdown Radio alongside Gino Toretta before I began doing the Jags game. So this 12th year of doing football. They're very those two paradigms are very different. Doing a college game, I didn't know either team.
Mm-hmm.
You had to learn both teams. There's 85 guys on the roster. There's duplicate numbers. It is a chore.
Yep.
The NFL team, there's 53 guys, 45 of whom are active, or 46 of whom are active. One team, you know, like the back of your hand. So the prep is totally different. My prep is the opposing team.
Mm-hmm.
I know my team. I know my team like the back of my hand, I hope. The prep for me is the opposing team. I start with notes probably on Monday. I probably go back and watch. The beauty of NFL is everything's on, every game's on.
Yep.
So I'll go back, I'll DVR the next team that plays. If the Jags play the Patriots in 2 weeks, I'll make sure this week I DVR the Patriots game. I'll watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'll listen to the broadcasters. Then on Monday, I'll start putting notes together. I hopefully will have the depth charts done the way I want them with my notes in probably by Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Then go back over it, spend some time with our coaches. You don't get time with the opposing coach.
Right.
When you're doing a national game, you get both coaches.
You definitely don't with the Patriots.
No, you really don't. But, you know, doing a national game, you get both coaches.
Yep.
And you don't get that. So I make sure I know what I have a pretty good idea come Friday of what I think our team's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
A pretty good idea. I mean, they're not going to give you the whole game plan, but you got an idea how they feel about the opponent and blah, blah, blah. And then all you can know about the opposing team is what you studied during the week. And then I do try. We've all done this so much that I'm close to Mike Keith, who's the play-by-play voice of the Titans,
mm-hmm.
and certainly so we all of us in the area, Mark Vandermeer, the play-by-play voice of the Texans, we're all kind of good buddies, and so we talk a lot because the divisional teams talk a lot.
Yep.
So between talking to the opposing play-by-play guy, if you have a relationship with him, we don't have it with all of them, watching the game, preparing, I would say most home play-by-play guys would tell you. The challenge is in learning the opponent.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas as a college guy doing national games, the challenge is in knowing both teams and the like.
The interesting dynamic in your case, and I went through this in San Francisco. Greg Papa worked for me, voice of the Raiders, tremendous play-by-play job, does a great job as a host. And there are days, and you, I'm sure, go through these as well, where the Jaguar story isn't good or the team isn't playing well. And you're the voice on Sunday and you're the talk show host on Monday. And talk shows are to give opinion, play-by-play is to describe the action and keep people informed of what's going on. How do you walk that line of making sure, like, look, I got to be objective and honest, but at the same time, I can't burn the bridge to where nobody ever wants to work with me again? Because there's a fine line. I think most people are professional who do both of those jobs. But you have certain guys that gets in their head more where they'll shade their opinion. You have other guys who can't wait to unload and then they ruin the relationship. So how do you do it?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it was probably the biggest question, Jason, when I got the gig. There were two big questions. Number one, Frank's the college guy. He's known as the college guy in town. He runs the college website. He's done college games all over the country. Now the college guy's doing the NFL games. That was step one. Just like Joe Tess is going into in the TV world. Step two was he's a talk show host and a long time talk show host who's done it in this market for a long time. Hopefully, been the default position in the afternoon drive for a long time. So how's he going to handle it? Two things. Number one, I'm not particularly caustic by nature. I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I hope everybody thinks they're fair, right?
No
one walks down the street and says, "Hey, by the way, I'm unfair." So, but I'm not particularly caustic in nature. I do think in sports, I tend to see the glass half full. I'm not the guy that gets tired of Berman and tired of this guy and doesn't like McCord. I'm not that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So that helped going in. Secondly, yeah, I probably have been a little bit more of a fan. Hopefully, it's not full out shill,
mm-hmm.
but I'm more likely to err on the give him the benefit of the doubt
mm-hmm.
because I was a little bit that way before. Helped. But yeah, if someone says, hey, you know what? I may be calling the games, but I'm as hard hitting it. Well, that's probably not true.
Right.
I think if people, you can, if you try, one thing I've learned about listeners and viewers and readers and of sports media, they're pretty smart. You don't fake it. You can't tell the listener, you know, I'm a hard hitting. I don't care if I call the games or not. They're probably going to say, I know you're really not. You know. So, I mean, you have to be honest about it. So I'm not generally caustic, and I try to be fair. Having said all that, I hope if they call a really bad timeout or make a really bad play or a guy drops a touchdown, I'm to the point about that.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully, and more so on Monday than I was on the game on Sunday.
Right.
So I think there's a balance there. Again, I think it helps that I wasn't that guy going in anyway. By the way, if I was, I probably wouldn't have gotten the game.
Right.
That's part
right,
of it.
Right, yeah. Then the team probably wouldn't want you to call the game. You've been here your whole life, so you know the market. How would you define the transplant factor to hometown?
It's growing. It's more transient than it's ever been. It's probably less transient than any other market in Florida, but way more transient than most markets in South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, blah, blah, blah. It's more transient than it's been. In my neighborhood, when I grew up, most of the people with whom I grew up are from here.
Mm-hmm.
Their families were from here. Their parents were from here. I was a Jacksonville guy that grew up with Jacksonville guys. I would say if you went up and down my street now where I live, I would say 80% weren't born here. Now, they might have been here a long time and raised their children
right.
here. So I think it's way more transient than it has been. I think there's, you know, when the Yankees or the Red Sox play in Tampa, it's all Yankees and Red Sox.
Yeah. Games,
okay. It is. It's just because it's so transient. Same thing when they play the Marlins. I think if there was baseball here where there were so many games, it wouldn't be like that, but there'd be more opposing fans than you think. See, football's different.
Yeah.
Football, opposing fans are everywhere because they take the vacation. So,
so
it doesn't matter the city. But in baseball, it does.
Right.
Baseball, those Red Sox and Yankees fans don't show up in Houston. They show up here.
Yeah.
So I think if we had baseball here, it wouldn't be Tampa, but there'd be far more than there are when the Red Sox go play the Nationals.
The reason I'm interested in that is, you know, you've got a one pro team market. You mentioned college. Obviously, this is a great state for college sports. But from a pro team standpoint, content strategy-wise, when you're talking on the show and you want to make the Jaguars a big part of what you do, but you're dealing with the guy who moved here and is the Redskin fan or the guy who's the Giants fan. If there's 20% of the market that are into NFL and 80% Jags, great, right? But if it's 50-50 or 60-40, then when you're crafting your content strategy, you're like, all right, we need to talk Jags, but I got to also make sure I'm going around the NFL. I got to make sure I'm going around the five most important games on a Sunday, on a Monday. How do you guys go about that in making sure the Jaguars are a big focus of what you do? Or is it – you look at it as a split. What's your mindset going into that?
I think there we err on the side of being a small market that's not particularly transient. Now, I just told you how we're more transient than we've ever been, and I do believe that. But I think in this instance, we probably err on the side where we're not quite as transient. I can tell you on our program, we rank, and when I plan the show, Big Country, Ryan Bonifant, he puts together the menu. But I pick the dinners, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I have a plan where we're going. Jaguars first, second, and third. Gators, SECs, Florida State are all kind of lumped in there in that four hole, if you will.
Yep.
And then everything else. So we'll have NFL segments.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have SEC college segments, but and more this time of year than others. But in season, I would say there's very little NFL time that's not Jaguar time. Some.
Mm-hmm.
There's very little college time that's not Gator, Seminole, or SEC time. Some, but not a lot. So now – in the offseason, we have our own favorites. I'm a Pirates fan, so I have fun talking about the Pirates because I think I want people to get to know me.
Right.
Rick Ballew likes to talk about the Red Sox
because
I want people to get to know him. You have to be careful you don't do it too much.
Yep.
You want to make sure you're talking to the listener, not to yourself.
But
I think the balance is they have to know you too.
Yep.
And I think we talk about our families a lot. I one thing I really want on our program, I want the listener to know that Brent Martineau, and I've probably got off your question a little bit, so I apologize.
That's
I'm wandering.
Okay.
I'm a radio guy. We talk. We wander.
It's
what we do. Right. We go crazy. But I want the listener to know that Brent's got 12-year-old twins, Brent and Kaylee. I want the listener to know that Avery and Jackson are the 9 and 7-year-old that are Hayes's. I want people to know Lauren's boyfriend, Brian. I want people to know my daughter and my wife. And I think that's really important.
Yeah.
One of the things I think I like best, Jason, is when I bump into someone, hey, I heard you talking about your daughter and she graduated from college, but that makes me feel good because that makes me feel like they know me. So all of that is in play. But back to your original question that I wandered so badly from, I think it's more Jaguars, Gators, Noles, and then everything else is a distant whatever.
Yep. So on the college front, you know, you mentioned how you guys look at Florida, Florida State, SEC. That's a big part. You were really bullish on launching Gridiron Now. It's a great college website. Chad Scott's been involved in that, who some in the industry know. A lot of great writers on there. I'm sure you saw the news this week. Cox pulled on right. SEC Country and a few other platforms. How have you guys managed to stay alive and keep that front and center for what you're doing?
The most difficult space in which I've ever worked in my 38 years in the media. I'll say it again. The most difficult space in which I've ever worked in my 38 years in the media. It is a really hard space. Mm-hmm. That's why ESPN laid off 300 employees. That's why FoxSports.com doesn't even have writing anymore. It's why Sports Illustrated let go of all those great, great writers.
Yep.
It's why 24/7 bought Scout. It's why SEC Country, with all the millions they put into it, had to shut it down. It's harder than ever to make money changing algorithms from the social platforms. When a social platform like Facebook changes its algorithm, you don't get to as many. It's all a metrics game.
Yep.
If you were doing 10 million page views one month and you do six the next, programmatic ads really follow that very specifically. So it is a tough, tough deal. The way I think we've made it work and why we're still alive, and it's been a battle now, but we've stayed alive, is with the strength of this radio station. We've run it through. We've at one point, we were two separate entities, both under Seven Bridges. Mm-hmm. Now we've kind of meshed it into one. Chad's done a marvelous job. Our editor who was with us, Mike Hugan, is good as I've ever seen in the print business. But it's been a challenge. Mm-hmm. It's been a challenge. Again, back to the radio thing. Radio worked because we came up with a comp plan that could allow Jeff Prosser and Rick Ballew and Frank Frangie to host their shows and thrive and make good livings as long as they were also going to go out and find advertisers. Same thing with Gridiron. We have to have the right comp plan. You have to be paid by page views. You have to be paid by eat what you kill, if you will. And if you have the right plan, the right comp plan, if you build it properly, and we think we have, it's fluid.
Yeah, it's good content.
But we're getting there because you have to have the right – it allows you to survive. I wouldn't tell you that 1010XL is thriving. 1010XL is off the chart. 1010XL is making more money I ever thought it would make. It just is. Oh, I'm not talking out of turn, but 1010XL is through the roof. Gridiron's not.
Right.
Gridiron's surviving.
Yep.
And it's been a battle. And it's been for a while it didn't survive, and we've got it to break even. We'll make a little on it. But we're still trying to learn that space. It's a very difficult space.
Yep. I'm going to wrap with you on something I call quick hits. I'm going to hit you with four questions. First thought that pops to your mind on each. Most notable figure in Jacksonville sports history is who?
Who? Right now, I'll say Tony Boselli.
The thing that motivates you still after 30 years of doing radio is what?
Someone told me a long time ago, I know it's a cliche, but I'm going to say it. Someone told me a long time ago, if you find something you love, you'll never work a day in your life. I'm 59. I've never had a job. I don't want a job. Jobs look hard. Jobs look like you have to work at them.
Yep.
If I keep doing this, I never have to go to work. That's what motivates me.
The biggest concern you have about the radio business over the next 5 years is what?
Is local radio, not as many. I think I worry about the TV business, the newspaper, the sports writing business. I think we're okay here. I worried about satellite when it came along. I don't worry about it as much. I think a more specific way to answer that is what I worry most about. Our station, can you stay, and I guess this is big picture as well, can you stay young? Can you stay contemporary? Can you continue to develop young talent that understands how to do it, hopefully the way the old talent did it, yet with fresh ideas? So can you turn, when you turn, NFL football teams, you play 3 or 4 years, and then you bring in the next guy,
yep.
And then the next guy. College teams, you play 4 years, then you graduate, and the next guy. Can we do that the way the sports teams do and keep our radio station alive?
Finding
and vibrant?
The next Derek Jeter is never easy.
Yeah, it's not.
The final one I want to hit you with, because I know you're a Jags guy, and I know you're a Florida Gators guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you would love a Jags championship mm-hmm. here. So this one, I want you to think about this. One Jags title, mm-hmm. but it means 20 years of Florida Gators misery. Or 20 years of Florida Gators success and no Jags championship, which do you take?
The Jags title. In large part because the Gators have had theirs.
Right.
The Gators have had, since 1996, in the last 22 years, they've had three footballs, two basketballs, and a baseball. Who has that?
Right.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Who has that?
Yep.
And the Gators have had these Jaguar fans, that's an easy answer. These Jaguar fans have waited a long, long time. So I would if the Jaguars win the Super Bowl, I would suffer the rest of it, not just for me, for all these people in this great city. I really feel
that
way.
It would be great if I asked you that question in 10 years after the Florida Gators misery, you'd probably change
your
answer.
I might change my mind, right, because I love the Gators, but for today, that's the answer.
It's great seeing you, man. Continued success with the show.
Jason, glad you're in town. Thanks, buddy.
You got it.
This is the Barrett Sports Media Podcast.
I thoroughly enjoyed that discussion with Frank and hope you guys did too. His view of what an audience expects when listening to a large afternoon show made a ton of sense. His insights on how to manage being the voice of a team and remaining honest and objective as a talk show host I thought were really good. I love that after 3 decades of doing this, you could still hear in his answers how much he welcomes getting better and how much he cares about the business. And when he talked about 1010XL's commitment to diversity and giving women an opportunity, if you're a female in this business, that's a radio station to put on your radar because they've proven over time they give women a shot and many have went on to bigger opportunities. When you come across people like that in the industry, it makes you want to pay attention more to the work they do. I encourage you guys when you get some time to give his show on 1010XL a listen. I think you'll enjoy it. But that's going to bring this episode to a close. A reminder for those of you who serve as market managers, corporate executives, and program directors, yours truly is available for in-market work and ongoing station support. I'm involved in a number of cities across the country, love what I do, and have no doubt I can help your people and product improve. If you're interested in talking business, you can find my contact information on sportsradiopd.com. I mentioned this on episode 3. If there's someone you'd like to hear on a future episode, send me a tweet or email. I always welcome suggestions and have no problem reaching out. To put a bow on the show, though, I want to leave you with one final quote. A great talk show host has the ability to commit robbery. If you could steal the audience's time and choice on a regular basis, you're going to find your bank account in a very healthy position. Until next time, I'm Jason Barrett. Thanks for stopping by.
I'd say that was a pretty successful broadcast.
Thank you for listening to the Barrett Sports Media Podcast. To stay updated on the latest sports media news, follow Jason on Twitter at SportsRadioPD and visit our website, sportsradiopd.com.